This episode of the Oh No 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 podcast is sponsored by Dynamic Industrial Services, the rope access specialists. The roof of the south stand at Starch Park is some 19 metres above the pitch, the same height as 11 Aidan Connollys. But as we all know, there's only one Aidan Connolly, and so you'd be much better off with Dynamic Industrial Services. DIS specialise in working at height, offering a range of services including maintenance, inspection and repair. To find out more, visit dynamicindustrialservices.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Oh No 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 podcast as we preview the penultimate away game of the regular league season. It's another Friday night special as the Rovers head up to Inverness, holding on to the slimmest of hopes that their title challenge isn't quite over, with the added incentive of headering Duncan Ferguson's side right back into the relegation playoff mire. My name is Duncan Cameron and I am delighted to be back in the host's chair this evening, and equally delighted to be joined by Scott Fleming. First of all, how are you, Scott?
Yeah, not too bad. Cheers.
Excellent. We've got Christina Beattie too. How are you, Christina?
I'm well, thank you.
And we've got Graham Meldrum too. How are you, Graham?
All good, thank you.
Fantastic. Right, Scott, let's start with you on this one. What's your... Yeah, it's a big general question, first of all. Give me just your overriding thoughts going into this game against Inverness, please.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a bit of a weird one because obviously everybody's already kind of saying, well, that's the title over. The last three games of the season, are we now kind of preparing ourselves for one of Airdrie or Partick, or are we actually going, well, if we win on Friday, it maybe puts a tiny bit of pressure on United the next day to go, well, if you win tomorrow, you've then basically won the league. But, yeah, it is a bit strange. But I think, yeah, as Ian Murray said, at the end of the day, they're all competitive individuals and they'll not want to go up to drive 3 hours up to Inverness to go, oh, it's all right, we'll just get beat. It's not going to happen. The guys will be, whoever is picked to start the game will be out there to win the game for us. So I'm more than happy with whatever team he goes with tomorrow, because as we know, and we'll find out later, that nobody can pick what the hell Ian Murray's going to do. So, yeah, and more than anything, I would actually quite like to see us get something, because that means that then, yeah, Inverness don't win the game and it puts them even closer to ninth position, because, to be honest, they're one of the teams that I actually would quite like to have a bit of sweat on thinking they might go down. Because I've been fed up my whole life, you know, getting beat off them every time we're in the same league. So, in general, I think it is a bit of a strange one to prepare for. But, yeah, we'll just have to see what Ian Murray's thinking ahead of it.
Yeah. Graham, what would your approach be kind of going into this one? Are you still... You're still putting out your strongest 11? Are you trying to get minutes into legs? What would you be kind of thinking about this one?
I think first and foremost, I'd be looking at who's near a suspension. That'd be my biggest concern. Who's near a suspension? If somebody's a booking away play, get booked. Yeah. Then serve that suspension before the playoffs. I would also like to see us look at, we've got critical players. I think there's a couple of guys who are critical players. I think Kev. We've only got one left back. I think if we get through to the final of the playoffs, it could be St Johnstone, so we've got to look at right back as well. So I think we've got to look at getting players in those positions that don't normally play, get them minutes in case we do need them. Because I think turning around and going, right guys, you're now playing in a playoff and you've not played for weeks, is a bit of a worry. So I think we look at that and I think we try and get some form of goal threat because that's a worry. I know we've basically shut up shop at the back and the clean sheets are coming, but we seem a bit blunt up front at the moment. Now, that could be because Louis Vaughan's no played, so maybe it's about if he's ready to get minutes in him as well. So he's firing. It's a difficult one when you look at what should we be like going into playoffs. We all know we're shite in playoffs, yeah? We've all gone into playoffs, and we've gone into playoffs with a fantastic run of form, and we've got gubbed. We've gone into playoffs with terrible form, we've got gubbed, and we've gone into playoffs with somewhere in the middle and got gubbed. So, you know, all these folk are going, we want good form before we get in the playoffs. You're like, really, do we? And it's just, whatever happens in the playoffs will happen. But I think we've got to get the team as best prepared as we can. Minutes into somebody who could fill it left back, right back, and minutes in the sub goalie, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, you're right about, I think form going into the playoffs is overrated. It's maybe a bit trite to say it, but like you talk about Derby's form book goes out the window. I think you look at the playoffs that we've had since they reintroduced them in Scotland, they're a bit of an anything can happen. I'm not overly like Airdrie obviously are the big kind of attention grabbers with the form that they've been on. I think it was an arbitrary point to use, but since we beat Dundee United at Tannadice in December, Airdrie have picked up as many points as Dundee United have. I think we're something like 6th or 7th in that very arbitrary table. But I'm not overly concerned. I think it's a different kettle of fish, a playoff. And yeah, I think nobody's offering me this choice, but if it was choice between kind of 3 wins between now and the end of the season, or as you say, getting better prepared by getting minutes at the legs. I don't know if there is anyone who's in risk of a suspension, but yeah, getting that risk out of the way, all that kind of stuff, I'd much rather do my preparation properly than just have, you know, 3 wins by hook or by crook going into them. Christina, are you prepared to write off this title challenge at this stage? Any glimmer of hope there's a miracle in the offing? Are you in the offing?
I thought you were just going to say, are you prepared? And I was like, no, not at all. We're talking about the playoffs. We were talking about the playoffs before we came recording there, me and Graham, and I asked, does that go to penalties if we're in a playoff situation, the very last match? And Graham's like, yeah. And I was like, right. So on episode 2 of this podcast was the first time I came on, and I said, Kevin is going to do something. It's going to put him down in Rovers history, and it's going to be a cult hero epic. And I tell you what, it's coming in the playoffs. So I don't know whether that's going to be scoring the goal that wins it or saving the penalty that wins it, but I tell you, it's coming. So I'm prepared for that.
Okay, good. So, but you, aye, fine. It's just, title's gone, but quite happy to just see us to these last 3 games and get right into the penalties in the end, just to...
I mean... I think, yeah, and like if you're thinking logically, I would think the title, I mean, I would love it if it wasn't. I don't think the players will be looking at it like that. I think the whole season never kind of written themselves off at any time, and I think they're very professional, and you can tell the way that Ian Murray thinks is he's going to be taking this like we are still in the middle of, we're not in the middle of the season, we're still playing season games, so we're not just going to chuck it away and be laid back about it. Like Scott said at the beginning, they're going to go up on Friday and they're still going to have a bit of fire in their belly to win. I can't see it being like they're just laying it back and really relax about it all. So, I mean, maybe second, if you'd said that at the start of the season, amazing, but I'm fully now on board for the playoffs and a bit of excitement about it too. I think it's been a bit flat recently as well at Starch Park, so I think it'll do everybody a bit of good to get a bit of excitement back to the ground and stuff as well.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. It's something I was going to come on to, but we'll cover it now. Graham, we'll come back to you on this. Do you expect much of a travel and support on Friday, just with the way things have gone and the circumstances?
I wouldn't have thought so. It's saved a big dilemma in my house because it's my wife's birthday on Friday, So had the stars aligned, and well, I don't even want to go down there and get to that. If that was the day, we could have clinched the title, yeah, because I've not gone there, so it's not recorded, and nobody can cast it up against me. But no, I think there might be people who've made the arrangements to make the trip, but again, you want to keep your if money's tight, you want to keep your money for the big games, don't you? Fair play, whoever goes, fair play. I'm sure they'll back the team. I'm sure the team will be delighted at their support there. But aye, no for me.
I was going to say, I'm actually glad that it's not like one of those, like a game like Graham's saying about it being initially winning the league or getting to the top of the league, because a lot of people aren't going to be able to make that even if they wanted to because of the time and stuff. And I think the public transport situation is a nightmare if you even did want to go or could go. So, yeah, I'm kind of thinking it's not very fair when that one got moved to being so far away. Inverness aren't going to be happy about that either, I wouldn't imagine.
No, it's a pain, actually, anyway. But it's a pain that is a result of the TV deal itself. So there was the kind of criticism, you know, a few weeks ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, when they kind of announced they were moving this to the Friday night. And it's fair, but it's not a case of like, oh, the BBC or whoever making that decision now. Like they have to go to Inverness twice in the season on a Friday night because that's the nature of the TV deal. And I mean, it's only really, you know, like Arbroath would be closer, but then you know, they're part time, and then you've got Dundee United who did go up on the Friday night, and then really it's us and Dunfermline who are about the same. So anyway, they have to send somebody up there twice on a weeknight. So it's the TV deal as a whole really that's at fault for that. But yeah, you're right. I was kind of the same. Like, you know, you're trying to look at it to see like, what's the best way to approach having to go to Inverness on a Friday night. And I absolutely full credit and praise to anyone who does go up. This is going to be, I think, the second or third away game of the season that I'll miss. And it just became a kind of an easy decision, especially when you know there's more games coming up for the playoffs. You know, I think we've all been putting our hands in our pockets a fair bit recently. You know?
It's okay. We don't have a couple of grand to throw out for Gran Canaria now, so it's okay. We can all afford the playoffs. We can all go to the playoffs now. We're all right.
Yeah, good point. See if the traveller's checks will stretch as far as Maryhill on Airdrie. In the first instance. So, just a point you made there about a minute or two ago, kind of trying to get back on a goal trail and see if we can. We're kind of tightened up at the back recently. Leslie, the kind of resident statistician, we're going to call him that, had some numbers for us earlier, which I think is, what is it, we 5 clean sheets in our last 10 games, which is more than the rest of the season put together. I think, I don't actually have it down, so I've got that wrong. That's my fault, not Leslie's fault. But as a kind of going hand in that, the goals have dried up a little bit. Compared to what we were scoring earlier. But it's an interesting quirk of the league, actually, that Cali Thistle have the second fewest goals conceded in the entire division. They've conceded 5 fewer than we have. And they're, you know, third bottom, which may or may not be down to the fact that Duncan Ferguson just signed hundreds of defenders on loan when he arrived. But it will be a test. You know, it's not a case of, oh, they're third bottom, here's the chance to go and bang some goals in. You know, it really will be a case of having to try and work it out. Scott, probably more of a general point than just this game. Do you think there's been kind of something missing for these goals to dry up recently? Relatively speaking, we've not, you know, been hardly had any at all, but do you think something needs to change to try and kind of get those goals going again?
Yeah, I think there's been some games where I feel like we're almost trying too hard at times, or we've been like, I mean, to use a reference to another sport, if when I played ice hockey, the coach used to say if somebody was looking for a goal, they're gripping their stick too hard to try and shoot to score. So it's the same for a footballer. Like, it's like the monkey off the back. I don't know if for some players, when they go 3-4 games without a goal, especially a striker, if they go 3 or 4 games, every game they don't score, they're probably getting that little bit extra frustrated, that little bit extra just on themselves. Never mind, obviously they want the team to do well, but strikers are strikers, they want to score goals. So yeah, I don't know if it's a bit of that or what it is, but I do feel that at times we've been kind of snatching at some chances and we've kind of not really been as free-flowing as what we were basically up until Christmas. I mean, we were free scoring nearly every week. You were guaranteed that we were getting like minimum 2 goals in most games, which was entertaining to watch, but it was also just knowing that teams were having to score 2 just to maybe get a result against us. So if that was the case going into this game, I could guarantee we probably would win because Inverness don't score many, and as you've said. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see because Inverness almost actually need to come out and win this game, whereas like, yes, we do, but it's not the end of the world if we don't win it, and it kind of is because then Queen's Park could go and win on Saturday, and that puts Inverness back down to 9th. So they probably actually need to have more of a impetus in this game in terms of coming out and getting a result more than we do, even though. Yeah. We've kept saying there is the slightest of chances that there could be a slip-up for Dundee United or something.
Yeah, you're right. I think there is more pressure on them. I just think it's been a fairly fairly kind of mature response from the Rovers. A couple of players who've been quoted in Ian Murray basically have just said that it's done. Like, they're not doing the sort of reverse Dick Campbell, like, it's, you know, it's not over until it's over. It's like that. It's like it's fine. If a miracle occurs, we will absolutely take it. And you know, we're willing to come back to the table in this title race if some mad stuff happens. But like, based on all the available evidence, it's not going to. So that's fine. And you're right about Cali Thistle. Absolutely. I mean, they. Beating Queen's Park was a huge result for them, but they really need to go and actually kind of really consolidate that. Once again, I saw that Callum Ferry, who plays out of his skin whenever he comes up against us, conceded a fairly tame free kick. Come on, guy. What's going on with that? And you mentioned about strikers maybe trying too hard and not quite finding their goals. Last time we saw Cali Thistle, Alex Samuel made his league debut, scored a hat trick. How many goals he's scored since then?
None.
One.
Well, he has actually scored
one league goal since then. He scored a fortnight ago against Arbroath.
Oh, well.
But, yeah. So he scored a hat trick against us in his debut and then went, I think, 9 or 10 games on the bounce without one. So, yeah. Always nice to give some of these guys a chance to start off. A hat trick on your debut. And then,
to be fair, yeah. We did that with Cali's manager as well. Almost, what game minutes, 10 game minutes after the infamous incident, he then goes and scores his first goal for Rangers. So there's a history of doing that for strikers that misfire. Just play against the Rovers and you'll get a goal, no worries.
Yeah, a very charitable football club. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
30 years ago this week, that was. So if we could, I really don't like Duncan Ferguson. I would take great joy in seeing them in those relegation playoffs. So fingers crossed we do get to see that. Right, let's move into lineups for this. I think this is going to be an interesting one, just because there is a fair bit of scope in this. I think you've got a lot to. A lot to play with in terms of what you could do, more so even than normal. Right, Graham, start with you, please.
Okay, I said about keeping key players out of the team. Yeah, so I've kept a key player out of the team. So I'm going to start with Kevin Goals, James Brown, right back, Scott McGill, left back, two centre halves are Murray and Watson. Then midfield is Brown and Byrne. Mullen and Smith wide, with Stanton playing off Vaughan.
First of all, stunning to hear Liam Dick dropped to the bench.
Tactical.
By you there.
Can he get an injury to him? He needs wrapping cotton wool at the start of the playoffs. No, yeah. Another left back.
Yeah, that is a big... it was almost should be a big issue. It's actually almost a surprise we've kind of gotten away with it for this long. But Liam Dick, I think he's kind of reaching... I know he missed some games early in the season, but he's very much in that place that Craig Wilson was in for a long time, where it's just like, just fine. We will be there. We will be solid. We will play 90 minutes. Like, that's fine. There's some players, I think, you're like, key player could do with a rest. Like, for me, I've still got Liam Dick in my teams. I'm like, I think he just will play 90 minutes every time we need him to. So you're always rolling the dice on that. But, I can see the logic. I quite like that you've got Louis Vaughan up front, kind of back into being the number nine. I am increasingly kind of keen to see that. He's a top scorer.
He creates a spark when he's playing as well, doesn't he?
Yeah. I don't know. I think we've been sort of rotating Ruddon and Hamilton, and while they've not been playing badly, it's not really been bringing us goals either. And I do think that sometimes, and I think the other thing as well, sorry, I'm kind of rambling on this point, it's not like me, we've got an abundance of number 10s, and it seems like we've been quite rapidly and often cycling through all these number 10s, but just sticking with either Hamilton or Ruddon up front, whoever is there. And actually, I think it's another dimension to move on up front, and then you can still play a Kyle Turner or a Sam Stanton in behind them. I'll give you my lineup, because it's not a million miles away at all. So on a kind of similar line, but on the other side, I've swapped out James Brown. I've brought Ross Matthews in. I thought he was very good there at Hampden. There is an above 0% chance that we might need another right back. You know, there is a reasonable chance that in these playoffs that we know are coming up, we could end up playing St Johnstone, in which case we would categorically need someone else to play right back. I'd quite like to have Ross Matthews with at least another couple of games under his belt by that point. So about that, other than that, Watson and Murray, I think it's important that they just get more minutes together in the middle. Although wouldn't be opposed to one or both of them getting a wee rest over these next few games. I've kept Liam Dick. I've gone for Scott Brown and Sean Byrne in the kind of base of my midfield. This, of course, is a 4-2-3-1, which I trust Scott will have the same. I've gone Smith and Mullen wide. I've kept Vaughan as my number 10 and Hamilton as my number 9. But I would be quite happy to see Vaughan up front. Scott, you can come in next with yours, please.
Yeah, I think I've kind of gone down the route of I've not changed too much. I think if I look back at the team for Saturday, I think I've only got two changes. I'm not sure I would change too much for this game yet. I still think we're maybe still a good few weeks away from the playoffs, so I'd like to just keep going the now with what we've got. But I think for the last two games, then I would maybe look at them to, especially Morton, you know what they're like. They would end up kicking lumps at folk or something. So I would just rather maybe rest a few guys then against Morton, and then Arbroath, get everybody's confidence back up, try and maybe score a few goals, whatever. But I think Morton's the game that I've kind of eyed up as my I'm resting players that day. But I've got same obviously in goals with Kev, same back four as usual with Brown, Watson, Murray and Dick. I've moved Stanton a little bit deeper to play beside Scott Brown in the two, because I'm bringing back in Vaughan for Turner. So I've got Vaughan playing at 10. I do think it would be good to see him back at striker at some point. I do agree with that. But I think I do like Hamilton up front. That's why I just keep sticking with Hamilton up top and then Vaughan in behind him. And I've actually stuck with Callum Smith out on the left. I thought he, in the last sort of sub-appearances he's given us, but also at the weekend, he just gives us that little bit extra pace going forward as well. And I think he's still got something to prove a little bit, because at the start of the season, he was kind of creating goals, scoring goals, and he benefited from the fact that guys like Connolly were injured. So he was guaranteed almost a start up until probably October. Since then, he's not really featured a whole lot in terms of other than 10 minutes off the bench here and there. But I think, and he scored a few goals, so I think he is a threat, and I would like to see him getting more minutes. And again, it's one of these players that if we keep giving him minutes going into the playoffs, then it can only benefit him. And then I've got Mullen on the right, and as I say, Vaughan at 10. So it's, yeah, as I say, it's only two changes. I think it's Turner and Rudden that I've dropped from last week. But yeah, it's just and obviously it's 4-2-3-1.
Of course, solid, dependable. I like it. Christina, you're 11, please.
Can we bring Jamie Gullen back for this game?
Jamie Gullen's gone permanently.
So, that would be great if we could.
I think he's actually, to be fair, I think his team are having a pretty tough time over in the Irish Premier Division. But
so
just as
someone
in the mess, talismanic powers would have been nice, yeah.
I know. Someone on Twitter got the lineup right on Saturday, by the way. I think it was Wayne Spence got it right. The first time I'd ever seen someone getting it right. I've gone 4-1-3-2. So I've gone Dabrowski in goals, Dick, Murray, Watson and James Brown at the back. And then I've put Scott Brown. And then in front of him, I've got Matthews, Stanton and Mullen. And then I've put Smith and Vaughan up front together, because Scott took the words right out of my mouth about Callum Smith. I think he's absolutely brilliant. I thought he was brilliant at the start of the season as well, and he's just never done anything wrong in my eyes. And when he was on Saturday, I thought he was absolutely fantastic. So I'd like to see him and Vaughan together up front and see if that creates anything a wee bit different.
I'm a big fan of Callum Smith as well. I think I've said that before. I think he almost suffers a little bit from being one of these guys who you know will work really hard and do a job basically anywhere you ask him to, as opposed to someone who's maybe more like, I'm an out-and-out striker, only ever play me up front. Jamie Gullen actually was a little bit like that as well, where he ended up being used in a lot of different places because you know he's going to give you 100% and he's going to stick to his task and do really well. And I think you see that with Callum Smith. He comes on and, you know, he'll come on wide left, and then whenever the next sub happens, he gets moved to kind of fill the gap, and then he'll maybe play up front for a bit, and then he's back out wide again. And I really like him. I'm very pleased that we've got him. I think he'll kick on again in the next season as well. So I had him in this starting lineup as well, and yeah, he could be just about anyway, just based on that. Right, let's do some score predictions as well, just quickly on this one. Christina, we'll come back to you first. Give us your score line, please.
I'm going to go 1-0 Inverness for this one.
Whoa.
I know.
Possibly the second time ever anyone's predicted a defeat in this podcast.
The last time she predicted a lot of us, we actually did lose, and it was 1-0 at AirG.
That's right. Did that not kick off a really bad spell as well of losing?
That was the first one, yeah.
Oh dear.
It was the radio after that game. Leanne Crichton asked me if I was worried about the defence, and I was like, a bit daft. No, defence is fine. Possibly owe Leanne Crichton an apology there. Right, Scott, score line from you, please.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning towards, I don't think we'll win the game, but I also don't think we're going to lose it. So, but just like Graham's wife, it's also my birthday on Friday, so I'm hoping for some sort of surprised that we actually do get a win and 3 points, because that would sort of top it off. But I've just got a feeling, I keep seeing 1-1 in my head. I think it's going to be a score draw. Ken, what, if he starts, I'll go with Callum Smith, will score.
Good. I would be delighted to see that. Graham, prediction from you, please.
I'm exactly the same as Scott. I think it'll be 1-1. We've got a draw. Nothing major to happen. A bit kind of meh game. It'll bring out the whole James McFadden going, have we lost it? Have we lost momentum and all this BS that you get in cliches coming out at half-time and full-time, like nobody's business. I'll allow them to put Duncan Ferguson on the telly as well, and folk can love him and hate him or whatever, so he'll get on the telly at the end of the game because he didn't get beat. So aye, meh, an own goal, don't care, get out of there, nobody injured, nobody sent off, let's go to the next one.
Yeah, back to the road. I've got very similar thoughts on this, but possibly even more meh than that, because I had 0-0 written down. Like they've scored the second least number of goals in the division, and they've conceded the second least number of goals in the division. We've had 3 0-0s in our last 9 games, Leslie tells me. I think the onus is going to be on Cali Thistle, I think, to kind of come out and score some goals, and they're quite bad at that, just over the course of the season have been. And I think we've tightened up, and hopefully we'll have, you know, our first choice centre halves back. And I think we're staying down the bar at 1-0, which will be really disappointing for the sort of, I'd say, the people who deserve full credit for travelling up to this one. So hopefully it's not that. Hopefully it's a resounding.
Is this a first that all four haven't picked at least not one win out of this?
4-0 Rovers.
I certainly think 2 goals out of 4 of us is definitely a low. So I think you could say that if Jason Fadden thinks some of the momentum's gone out of this podcast, he might not entirely be wrong. But a positive result will be bouncing right back. Right, I think that'll do us for Friday night's game. Just a couple other things, a couple of items left on the docket for this evening. First of all, the last episode, the episode that was recorded last Thursday. Graham, Robbie mentioned that you were absent but with leave because you were at the AGMs, which I think all take place at the same time. To borrow a bit of management speak, any key takeaways for you from last Thursday?
Well, was it 3 of them? 2 of the company. We could be on here forever if we talk about company structure. Yeah. So, New Wraith Rovers, there was 9 of us there, including 3 board members. The company doesn't trade, so essentially it was just tidying up shares and people who put money in getting shares out and all that sort of thing. Then we had Wraith Rovers Holdings and Wraith Rovers Football Club. Key takeaways for me, there seems to be a lot of collaboration going on between teams. I think it came out in the Q&A as well, Andrew Barman talking about the plastic pitches and what the clubs that have got plastic pitches are doing to lobby the SFA about those pitches, or the SPFL or whatever the hell it's called nowadays. To put some sort of standard. The thing that came out for me is I never knew plastic pitches were tested every year to some sort of UEFA standard. Apparently that doesn't happen with grass pitches, but I'm sure Scott knows that better than me.
They do testing over here for the Eredivisie. They do, I think it's almost actually, they do it twice a season. They do it at the start and then sort of halfway, and they do different tests for bounce of the ball, roll of the ball, all that sort of stuff. But they all have grass pitches apart from just the odd one over here in the top flight. But you said that they don't do it in Scotland, though, for the grass pitches, which I find a bit bizarre.
But apparently the plastic pitch was raised. It was Aberdeen that played in Europe. And they played somebody in Europe this season on a plastic pitch, which was amazing. And not long after that, they played Livingston and went, why is that plastic pitch so good and why is this one so shit? Just to paraphrase. And I think that's where it's all come from, to get some sort of level, I wouldn't say level playing field, but that's a terrible pun, but to get the quality similar. So that came out of it. There was also some good accounting where we apparently have a research and development rebate that we got in our books last year due to some of our board members speaking to board members at Kilmarnock who do a similar thing. So that was interesting. And the biggest surprise takeaway is we may all remember a midfielder from Rangers called Jordan Thompson. Yeah. Did very, very little for us. However, we did get some money for a development fee for him. So
a decent chunk of money for that as well.
A decent amount, yeah. So let's not look back on such hatred towards Jordan Thompson. He's come up good in the end.
Longer known for just scoring that one goal at Tannadice. He's scored one goal at Tannadice and made a lot of that money for us, which is nice.
Yeah, so essentially that was that. I think if anybody was at the Q&A, the Q&A was just almost like a watered-down version of what the AGM was. So I think from a club perspective, the timing was good. And I think they've managed to get the information for a room full of, there were 30 people there at the AGM, I don't know. They've managed to get that information spread wider through the Q&A. So I think the timing of those two things was a really good idea.
Yeah, I was at the Q&A virtually, as everybody was, on Monday as well. And it was good for what it represents, more than actually like the content. And that's not a criticism of the content, but the thing is, like, you're never going to get, you know, insider gossip out of what is effectively a public forum, even if it is technically limited to the Club 1883 membership, because Daphne's like me, you'll kind of just tell everybody who'll listen afterwards. And equally, you're not going to get any kind of real sort of breaking news or anything like that. You know, if they've got good stories to shout about, again, they'll be doing it to a wider audience than just the 73 or 74 people who were there. But I think what it represents is, you know, a willingness to communicate, a willingness to engage. You know, people could ask seemingly as many questions as they liked. And
as long as your name is Richard, you're okay.
Yeah, exactly. So very, very open, kind of transparent communication, which is really all you can ask for. And, you know, so it was Ian Murray, John Potter, Andrew Barrowman and Rory Kilgour all spoke very well, as I think you would expect, you know, by this point. As you say, Graham, there was nothing that, you know, nothing that caused anybody to kind of gasp or clutch their pearls or anything. I think probably the only piece of kind of news almost was that the Gran Canaria trip is, you know, I think almost certainly not going to happen. I was going to use another bad pun there that I'm going to steer right around. Just scheduling wise, I think from what Rooney was saying is that basically the Scottish season starts too early and the Spanish season starts too late, and that really the only way it would have worked would be if the SPFL could have guaranteed when our free Saturday would be in the League Cup group stage. But while it would have been nice, I can kind of see why they don't want to start pre-rigging, if that's the right word, cup draws, you know, months before they happen. It starts to set a precedent. So unfortunate that that's not happening. But I did enjoy Rooney's kind of plan B for that, which is that if we qualify for Europe, we won't have to be in those group stages, and then we'll have plenty of time to go. So we'll look forward to that. But I think the other thing, the various kind of topics that they covered, I'd say there was nothing that was particularly groundbreaking. There was some news about like main stand renovations and all this kind of stuff, which was interesting, but fine. The main thing for me, and Graham, I want to hear kind of your thoughts on this as well. Just general kind of attitude, more so from Rory and Andrew Barrowman, to be fair, rather than the on-pitch stuff. But they genuinely seem sort of full of the belief that they've barely started. Andrew Barrowman seemed really keen to kind of press that home. Someone asked about... So are there expectations and were there any kind of frustrations on what they've managed to achieve so far? And he said a couple of times, like, we've only really reached second gear. Like, you ain't seen nothing yet, almost. which is nice to hear, because I mean it's made a lot of progress.
Yep.
And it's nice to hear that it's like this is only the beginning almost. And as always, you know, the proof will be in the pudding. It's easy to say these things, but certainly the belief seems to be there. Was that kind of the same for you? Do you kind of get the feeling that there's real substance behind that?
Yeah, definitely. Going back to the AGM, it started off with John Sim talking. Sorry. And you know what John's like, yeah. And then Andrew Barrowman came on. So John did his bit, and Andrew Barrowman came on. Honestly, see by the time he's finished, right? I'm shit scared of the heights. He could have asked me and said, Graham, it would help the club immensely if you went up and changed the light bulbs and the floodlights. I'd have been off like a shot. Yeah. Honestly, the guy, if he's like that, if Ian Murray's like that and John Potter's like that, no wonder guys are queuing around the street to sign for us. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. I'd have been away. And I think you're right. The stuff they're talking about, there was a question asked at the AGM, which was, will we just go for it financially? And he was like, no. He says, everything we'll do will be calculated. We'll maybe take a risk, but it'll be a calculated risk. And it'll be we're not going to mortgage the future of the club for one shot, which was fantastic. It's refreshing to hear. It's what they said they would do, and it's what they're going to do. I think it came over in the Q&A, and I think we did have a joke in the sort of internally in the chats about it was the same questions coming out. But I think because of a fan base who's not had the opportunity to do that was going to happen. There was always going to be a couple of dickish questions that came in from the wider support, and I'll put my hands up to one of them. But you know, I just thought, well, lighten the mood. It's getting a bit serious about Clad and the planning permission here. So it was, and I don't think there was any real, you know, worries that came from the support. There was some cringy ones, as I say, but I think the more we do these, I think the more we as a fan base are going to become comfortable with them as well and understand. I think, Duncan, you made the point, there was three ex-professionals in there and nothing was ever asked about their role or what they see in the wider football, what's changed in football since they stopped playing and all that sort of thing, you know. But I think the more they do them, the more I think they'll be interactive, because it was similar, yeah, at the beginning. Just the same questions and just asked in a different way, I suppose.
That's a good point, actually. There almost was a bit of an underlying sort of anxiety in the questions, but not in the answers at all, you know. But I think, yeah, we are sort of once bitten, twice shy with this kind of stuff, where it's like, well, do you think we might be able to do this little thing? And they're like, forget your little things, you know, there's actual plans and stuff in place here. So yeah, there wasn't an awful lot of on-pitch stuff. I think the only real thing I've got in my notes that I thought was sort of, I don't know, worth repeating, was someone had asked about kind of data-driven scouting and all that kind of stuff, and John Potter didn't really get into that side of it by any means at all. But what he did say is that in terms of next season and where we are now, the market for new players is basically Scotland. Like, don't expect to see a lot of kind of far-flung imports for a number of different reasons. But, you know, I think we basically saw that, you know, coming into this season as well. That's where the vast majority of people came from, and I don't think you could look at it and say that it was a strategy that didn't work. So, yeah, not surprised to see them kind of stick to that. But again, it just sounds like there is kind of progress happening across, you know, all these different avenues. And yeah, you're right. The fact that there's a commitment not only to do that once, but that it sounds like, you know, things of that ilk will continue to happen. The guys all seem very engaged in it. I think that in and of itself is almost the biggest plus, is that actually they're willing to just sit down and be asked these questions. And yeah, they were submitted in advance, and you know, Neil got to filter them to some extent, so who knows what bangers were lurking in the pile. But it didn't feel, you know, managed or anything like that to any great degree. And I see the willingness is as much as anything. That's about all you can ask for, really. You know, your football club fundamentally ends up being owned by somebody, and really that person or people can basically do what they like with it, and fundamentally you're just strapped in and have to trust that they're going to do the best they can. But if they're at least willing to communicate and talk to you about it, that's, you know, that's about all you can ask for, really.
I think there seems to be a plan.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It just seemed to be, I don't know, whether years ago it was just, we were just rolling along. Yeah, we'll get to the end of the season, we'll sell season tickets, that'll see us, we'll keep going. But there seems to be a plan and there seems to be a desire for progression year on year. And, you know, so far the guys have been good as a word. You can only take them for that.
There was something I can't, I was looking at my notes for that, because it was something that, it's only that literally having a plan. Someone had asked about safe standing, and when Andrew Bannerman started answering the question, I thought he was almost, not fobbing it off, but he was almost like, look, it's a thing we would love to do, but, you know, it's further down the list. And he basically said, it is further down the list, it's third or fourth on the priority list, but, you know, promotion would help with the financing. But the plans are in place, it's actually all been costed, it's all there. So it's like, it's third or fourth on the priority list, and it is in full, ready to go. It's literally just a case of we're kind of finding money for it. Whereas, as you say, 3 years ago, that would have literally just been a line in a Word document somewhere. Yep. That said, safe standing, investigate, and it just would never come to anything. Whereas, like, multiple times you mentioned, you know, this is costed, this is at procurement stage, all this stuff, where it's being worked through, and does seem to be an actual, you know, a plan to take things forward. So, yeah, very reassuring overall. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good session, and hopefully we get more of those. But to take us on to the final section of this podcast for this evening, we have the return of, it's not an old favourite, I've only done it about six times, but it's a favourite of mine anyway. It is, of course, Should McStay or Should Dar Go, because we have the reigning champion with us. So, Graham, it's very much over to you for your, I think it'll be your, is this your, for your first shot at pitching?
It is, yeah.
A mystery over.
So,
I'm looking forward to this.
Before we start, right, do not panic. The opening question is not, I was signed by Gordon Wallace in 1981. Okay?
Right? It was 1982.
I know it was all like, oh Christ, I'm going to have to look up my Rovers history books, right? I've not gone that far, okay? So, is it six or seven?
Six.
We've done six, but you can have seven if you need them, okay. To be fair. It's not written down anywhere.
So just to put you at your ease, right, the first clue is it was actually signed by John McGlynn.
Right, good start.
I'll go with Ian Williamson.
Okay.
I am going to say, I think it's a trick, I'm going to say Marvin Andrews.
Okay. Christina?
No, I'm not guessing yet.
Okay. We're going to clue two. I was capped by Scotland at under 18 and under 19 level. I put a big line through Marvin.
Can I give you mine first? Oh, no, wait. No, that's not right. Forget that.
Certainly have put a line through Marvin. I think he was still working in a beer factory when he was 18 and 19. Taking bottles off the line. If I remember rightly from his autobiography. So it sounds like a great perk of the job to move.
Does it?
Right, capped at 18s or 19s.
I'm really struggling, and I'm going to just say someday, even though I don't... I think he must have played for Scotland at some point, but Regan Hendry.
I don't know why. I'm going to stick with the theme of, I think you're trying to trick us. I'm going to go for Scott Robertson.
Christina?
No, I was going to say Kieran Bowie, but then you said under 18, 19, so he was older when he was at under 20.
Yeah, he definitely played for the 19s.
I'll go with Kieran Bowie then.
He has played 18s as well.
Third clue. I've played league football for 7 Scottish professional clubs.
May not be Kieran Bowie.
Well, it's not Kieran Bowie.
Stephen Anderson.
Ooh. 7. He's bounced around then.
I did actually dig out my copy of Always Next Season in preparation for this. I don't know what I thought I was going to do with it, because I'm pretty sure referencing the book halfway through would be frowned upon, but I do now have it to hand.
I'll give you a spare clue. He's not in the book.
Oh, of course, exit Dick. Cut out too early.
John Littstar needs to get his finger out and get a revamp done. Any more guesses, or we're going to the next one?
I'm really struggling with this one. I don't know why. McGlynn, somebody that bounced around.
Somewhere in a car driving to Dunfermline, Blair is shouting, Eddie Malone. I wonder if Blair shouted it the first, the second, or the third clue.
Definitely the first one.
Move on.
Yeah, I've not even got a name, which is annoying.
Okay. The clue 5. I've won League One with 3 different teams, 2 of which Wraith have played this season.
That seems like a clue that Robbie would get it straight away.
The third team is Rovers, yeah.
So he's
won League One with 2 other teams apart from the Rovers. And we've played both of them this season.
I'm going to stick with Stephen Anderson for now.
Okay.
He's only won it twice, I think.
Grant Anderson?
I was about to say something. I don't know why, because I don't think you would use somebody that's already been an answer in one of the games.
I knew it was a trick. Somewhere.
No. I was sitting about to go James Craig, and I was just like, nah, I don't think so.
We'll go to the next one.
Yeah, go on then.
Okay. I've played either as a midfielder or a defender.
See, Regan does that.
You know, when you take one of these clues and then you try and kind of extrapolate it out, and then it just gets lodged in your brain. So I just keep thinking, Livingston have won League One. We've played Livingston this season. Could be any number of other teams. I'm just like, how many players did John Vincent also play for Livingston?
Should you go like hide and seek and go, that's really warm?
that's how I feel. I'm just like, if I keep talking, eventually you'll...
How many more clues have you got, like?
2.
2.
What, the really easy one, or do you want another one? What one do you want?
I just...
defence and midfield.
It's annoying me now. I can't even think of somebody that's played for
6 or 7
clubs.
What clue do you want? You pick.
Somebody that's played for 7 clubs and won... So he's won League One 2 or 3 times?
3 times. Once with us.
3 times.
Oh, Christ, I think it's Stephen Hislop.
Okay.
That's not the worst shit in the world.
I'm sitting.
No, you need to play midfield and defence. That is a terrible show. Sorry, Scott. Oh, that's the worst show in the world.
I didn't even think to me.
We'll go for an easy one.
This one
helps, right? My first name and surname starts with the same letter. That's obviously, looking at Scott's face, that's obviously not an easier clue.
I think this person has also been on an answer to this already as well, but he fits.
Grant Gillespie.
I was going to say Callum Crane.
Was he in the one answer something else already? Was Callum Crane the one answer already for somebody?
Yeah, I think I had Callum Crane as one of mine, but I'm like, he fits a lot of the criteria.
Did he play in, I don't know, I don't remember him playing in midfield for us.
Not necessarily for us, he might have played.
Yeah.
Famously a left back.
Who's
right, who
name?
Else could it be? I'm just going to the alphabet now.
That'd be a good idea.
Bobby Barr. Bobby Barr.
See, he came into my head, but I'm like, he surely never played defence.
You'd be taking your life in your hands playing Bobby Barr. Defense.
I always guess Bobby Barr. I love Bobby Barr. He was brilliant.
I know what you're doing, Graham, but I can't think of anybody.
We've never had a Matthew. Right, he's only played for us for one season. And he scored one goal away at the Waitrose in 2019. I've made it modern, it's relatively.
I know, recent. But it's
this is what I mean, I know this is like an old kind of cliche for games like this. People are furious, particularly at me and you, Scott, that we are not getting
this. Is going to really annoy me, like the fact that it's actually so recent as well.
Is it Michael Miller?
Michael Miller. To be fair, he was all right, but I do think he is quite forgettable.
It is Michael Miller. He won the league with us, Morton and Livingston. So you're on the right track, Duncan.
I knew Livingston had to be in there somewhere.
Yeah. And he played for Dumbarton, Morton, Livingston, Brechin, Wraith, Ayr, Stenhousemuir. And he's still playing football with Broomhill in the Lowland League.
He left Steny start of this season.
Done. I don't know why. I genuinely think that for all the clues that you gave us that were absolutely fine, I still think if you had said something about them playing in the Lowland League, I knew he was at Broomhill. And I don't know why that would detect it, considering all the other clues that came around.
This game's really, really good. And there'll be people who will have got that relatively early, I think.
To have got that on the three League One wins.
But the main thing is, I get to pitch it next time, which is so much more preferable than being one of these nafties who can't think of Rave Rovers players, despite the fact all they do is think about and talk about bloody Rave Rovers. Right, smashing. Thank you for that, Graham. That was another very good one. I really do enjoy this game. Right, I think that will do us for this evening. So thank you everybody for watching and for listening once again. I'm sure you know by now, you can find all the usual additional places to find the podcast in the show notes. The game on Friday, if you're going, then well done from all of us. There will be some podcast representation. I think Blair and John certainly are going. I'm not sure about Leslie. So those guys will see you there. The rest of us will see you on the television on Friday night. And we will be back at some point over the weekend to pick through whatever transpires up in Inverness. So as I say, thank you again and goodbye.